Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Christ is risen. Well, wonderful to be with you. My name is Mark. I'm the lead pastor here. And I love the movement of Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is a day with motion and activity. The kids have already showed that to us. They're running around inside the church. Now they're out there. It is movement and life. I love it. There's excitement and hope and surprise and even running. There's running in the Bible. It's wonderful. How exciting. I'm not very good at sitting still for too long. It's just part of me. I can't sit still for too long. I'm actually a terrible spectator. I don't do well at just watching sport. I want to go and play it. I want to get on the field and go and be a part of it. So there's only so long when it's the cricket, when it's the test match cricket, it's kind of on in the background and I'm doing something else while it's happening. I'm taking a week off next week, so I won't be here next Sunday. Karen is going to be making sure we're open and worshipping together. But we're driving over to South Australia to visit some really good friends of ours and family over there. Partly, I'm just looking forward to getting in the car and driving away. After the year we've had, so this is the first time I will have crossed a border since May 2019. I'm just looking forward to the movement, to the going somewhere, the going somewhere else other than here. It feels like an absolute luxury to be able to do that, with, you know, to go there with purpose and people to look forward to, and actually spending time in their presence as well. And don't we all need some movement? as our bodies fail as we get older, as we get injuries when we're younger, as so much of the world is still in lockdown, perhaps as we feel like our financial situation or our career is stuck. The big story we often feel is the story of the stone rolled in front of the tomb, locked in with the story of death. Can I share with you a couple of quotes? These come from my wider reading of things. These are not Christian quotes. These are just wider opinions that are floating around out there. And you might have heard some of these. You might be hearing some of this narrative as you're talking to other people, as you're reading things, perhaps in the papers, whatever. Maybe you are coming across some of these perspectives, and particularly thinking about our post-COVID world. You know, what has changed? Is it like it was before, or are we going into something new? Here's some of the perspectives. The first one there, I mean, some of these are older quotes, but they're getting quoted again as we're approaching a new era. There is no new global order, just a chaotic transition to uncertainty. Thank you, Jean-Pierre Lehman. The next one, of course, stock markets are saying something quite different to the people who have had their lives turned upside down in the last year. What most people are being told by the economy is this: in order for the economy to thrive, we don't actually need you. We don't need your labor, because robots and a few college kids will do ever more of the work. To which the unneeded must reply, yeah, but what am I supposed to do? The answer to that question is becoming increasingly obvious: die. Die of COVID, die of poverty, or die of despair, but as much as possible, do it where you won't be seen. Thank you, Curtis White. This is stuff that's out there. People are reading this. I don't know if you're coming across it. The next one: I would set you free if I knew how, but it isn't free out here. All the animals, the plants, the minerals, even other kinds of men are being broken and reassembled every day to preserve an elite few who are the loudest to theorize on freedom, but the least free of all. And the last one I've got there, from Margaret Thatcher, her famous phrase. This was usually, I think, in terms of talking about the market economy, and when she didn't want any debate on a topic, she'd just say, there is no alternative. This stuff is out there. People live by this stuff. These are the messages that the world is telling people. Do you feel the stone in front of the tomb in those messages? Just death, stillness, stagnation, nothing. So how encouraging and joyful it is to read in Matthew 28 about resurrection go. Resurrection go. It is a go, go, go story. The movement of Christ, the going and living out the way, the truth, and the life with a whole variety of gifting is a massive alternative to what is defined by a closed tomb. Let's have a look at the first part of that chapter again. The reading is up there. Let me go through it again, just to highlight the go, go, go nature of all of this. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The resurrection is full of energy and movement and power. The resurrection means go. The deathly silence of the tomb is over. That horrible stillness, what looked like defeat and the end of hope and life, has now been overcome. There is a new creation. There is a new world order. Jesus wasn't resuscitated back into how things were. He is resurrected forward into a new reality, into the thing God is going towards. There is life beyond the grave. Death doesn't have the last word. And Jesus has created that road through death into the gates of eternal life. Which means for us now, go, go, go. Resurrection, go. The next part of the resurrection story in Matthew's gospel tells us that doubt will follow. Even in our going, as disciples of Jesus, doubt will not be far behind. For anyone who likes the current world, anyone who likes the stone across the tomb, for those who are profiting from the status quo, for those who are wedded to their status in society or a slave to the position of power that they have, or those who are just blocking their ears to the cries of those who are suffering because life is, you know, under their control and they can do what they want, there are people who don't want Jesus risen from the grave. You might know that famous phrase, "'Tis impossible to be sure of anything but death and taxes." It goes back to 1716. That phrase, the only certainty is death and taxes, that phrase is in the interests of some people. It's in the interests of some people to perpetuate that phrase, particularly those who are driven by power and greed. Have a listen to how the story goes on. While the women were on the way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with their elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. They bribed the soldiers to make up a story, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him while they were asleep." So that they had to lie. They were bribed to lie to pretend that they were asleep. "If this report gets to the governor, we'll satisfy him." So they're going to cover the soldiers and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Other people will want you to doubt the resurrection because it makes them uncomfortable or they fear losing their own safety net. You will hear things like, "Jesus never existed. He didn't actually die, he was just unconscious. The disciples were just gullible, uneducated fishermen," or "science makes this whole thing seem silly." You know, you will hear those things. Or you will hear what the first Christians initially faced, which was the accusation that they'd stolen the body. And if you're anything like me, you don't just hear those things from others. They are actually thoughts and questions that come into our own mind. It's actually a huge part of my faith journey to face those questions, to address them, to look at them seriously. And even as we read on into the next section, which is often titled The Great Commission, says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." So in the midst of worshipping Jesus, there are some that doubt. This is a normal part of Christianity. We shouldn't be surprised. Doubt will follow. And Christians don't have to hide this stuff. You know, it's in the Bible. Doubt is a part of the experience of church. I'm trained and educated in scientific method and inquiry. And it has been a great comfort to know that I'm not the first person followed or even surrounded by doubt. There are countless intelligent Christians who have actually looked at the evidence, who have looked at evidence in the Bible, looked at other sources, and then walked forward. They have been part of the go, the resurrection movement from an evidence-based faith. A few resources for you to consider. Firstly is Alpha. Alpha is the place to ask those questions, to legitimately say, was his body stolen? And to talk that through. It is a safe place to go through that stuff. So we're going to run Alpha later in the year, probably in term three. But if it happens that there's like 10 people who want to run Alpha right now and be part of a conversation about this stuff, we'll make it happen. Alpha is a great place to look at the resurrection, the cross of Christ, to look at faith, what is real, and how can we live in light of it. Secondly, is this book Surprised by Hope? If you're wondering, what is this resurrection thing? Why is it helpful? Why is it meaningful? Why would we care about it? This is a very good book that looks at the biblical evidence and helps us understand what happens after we die. What does it look like? What does the Bible say? So that's a great book, Surprised by Hope. And then if you're really wanting to turn up the notch, there's this one. Like, look at that thing. And it's small print too. So this is The Resurrection of the Son of God by N.T. Wright. This is an amazing book. It is like evidence, data. Like hefty going, but if you sit down and read this, it is amazing. It is such an encouragement and an affirmation of our faith that someone can go through in quite a scientific kind of data-driven way to look at the evidence. So if anyone wants to borrow this, you can come and grab mine. I've got other books that I'm reading at the moment, so you can borrow that. Or get an electronic copy. That's what electronic copies are great for. You don't have to carry around something so big. Anyway, lastly, The Great Go. This brings us to the final part of Matthew 28. This is the very end of his gospel accounts. This is the end of the book of Matthew. The closing words of the book, but it's actually the start for us. The end is the start for us. The end of the account is a ready, set, go. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. It's in a red letter up there. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The joy and the hope of the resurrection isn't meant to be hidden behind closed church doors. It's meant to go and to be shared. And this message of good news that death does not have the last word, that God brings new life and a new world, a new way of being that is defined by redemption and abundance instead of decay and despair. That message transforms us. And so we go and we tell others. But we don't go powerless and alone. We don't go powerless and alone. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. We go in his powerful name, with authority, and with his presence by the Holy Spirit. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The movement of the Easter weekend is that on Good Friday, we bring our burden, our brokenness, our sin to the cross. If you were here for Good Friday, we brought our black rocks forward. Symbolically, we each brought our black rocks up, our sin, and placed it at the cross. And Easter Sunday is a go. But we go with a gift of God's presence and grace and love. So today, later on in the service, during the greeting of the peace, there's going to be an opportunity to actually go with one of these flowers. So we've brought our black rock to the cross, and we go with a symbol of God's love and new life and his presence with us. But Karen will explain that for us a little bit later. What an exchange that is. What an unfair gift that God would give us so much love and so much life and hope and promise. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. We thank you for hope, for life beyond the grave, that death does not have the last word. We thank you for Jesus who rose from the dead, the first fruits of all those who fall asleep in him. Thank you that we can live in light, that we can go, not powerless and alone, but with your authority, knowing that you are with us in love and kindness and grace. Thank you for this gift of Easter Sunday. Help us to always live in light of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Easter Sunday is a wonderful day to affirm our faith, to say again the words that we believe, the words that we hear, and we see the story in Scripture, and that has been summarized for us in a creed. So I invite you to stand now, and we're going to say this and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a seat.
Let us pray for the world and for the church. Praise and honor to you, Jesus Christ, for you have triumphed gloriously. We pray for your world, for the welfare of all your people, and for your creation entrusted to our care, for all in positions of authority, for our government at every level, for those who are affected by the withdrawal of support and benefits during this pandemic. We pray that they will soon find worthwhile and engaging employment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As some of us will have laid our small stones before the cross on Good Friday, we pray that you will roll away the stones of hatred and greed, discord and unbelief, apathy and selfishness, pain and despair. We give thanks that you have taken on all our sins, and we pray that you will transform us with your Spirit so that we may all share in the true spiritual freedom of your risen life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Praise and honor to you, Jesus Christ, for you have cancelled the power of sin. We pray for your worldwide church, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for all those who serve you in many different ways, for the ordained and for the lay people, for all the volunteers who give of themselves and help spread your word. May we each be a witness to your risen life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the communities in which we live and work, for our families, our friends, and all whom we love. For the undervalued people of society, for all those who sleep on the streets, and for any who have been forgotten as we focus on the pandemic and the effects it is having on the world and on us personally. We pray for all those who are endeavouring to return home from overseas, that you will assist them to return safely and that they will know your protection. And for all of us who have family and friends overseas, for those that we will not be able to see for some time to come, we pray for them and for ourselves during this difficult emotional time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who suffer, for the sick and the sorrowing, and all who care for them. We pray especially for our frontline medical workers, all of those in aged care and their carers. Please, Lord, keep them safe. And we pray for a speedy rollout of the vaccine to offer protection through this pandemic. May our governments at every level work together to achieve this. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Praise and honour to you, Jesus Christ, for you have broken the bonds of death. We give you thanks for your faithful people of every age, for Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and for all who have seen you and believed. May we, following their example and yours, cast off all that binds us in death. Transform our lives by your risen power, that we, with all your saints, may come to share forever the glory of your risen life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Accept these prayers through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we're going to continue in a moment of prayer as we just take a moment to reflect and thank Jesus that because of him, we are in right relationship with God. So we're going to take a moment in silence to ask Jesus to forgive us. So you might like to just take a moment to say sorry to God, and in a moment we'll pray together. So we're going to join in the prayer that comes up on the screen. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, confident in God's forgiveness. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we have this great confidence knowing that Jesus has died on the cross. Our sins are forgiven. He has resurrected. And we have this peace with God because of that. And therefore God calls us to have peace with each other as well. So as a sign of that peace, we're going to stand We're going to take a moment to share the words of the piece. And as Mark has encouraged us, we're actually going to, I'm going to encourage you that during the piece, you might like to come and take a flower and share that with someone else as a gift of the new life that we have in Christ. So please do come. You might